All right. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
This is the traditional gospel that's usually read at this time because it's all about two wombs. Two wombs. And two deaths that come from those wombs. And not only that, it's two of everything, because even though David loses his life by, I mean not David, but John the Baptist loses his life by a sword, chopping his head off, Jesus also died. So two deaths, so two births, two deaths, two wombs. But there's also two voices. The one is an earthly voice called the prophet. David was the greatest prophet that ever lived. His greatness was not so much in what he did, but what he said. I'm a voice crying like one in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Because he introduced, he's the herald of Jesus. And so this is a powerful story, and I think you'll hear something new that you haven't heard before about this two wombs, two different females carried babies in their wombs, the one being the greatest prophet ever born of woman, the greatest prophet ever born of woman. The other being the one that he's prophesying about. And he was a friend of the bridegroom. He was also, I'm sure he'll be the best man at the wedding, which you haven't seen that yet. And he's one of the witnesses to Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he also said, and he's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he's also one that said that this is the one that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. So it's powerful what these two babies did, because they changed the world forever. Not only that, they changed life for us forever and ever, world without end. So let's read about this story. It's always good to read, if we can, from the biblical text. And Zechariah, verse 18, 1:18, Luke 1:18. And Zechariah, he was a priest, said to the angel, by what shall I know this, that you've told me that we're going to have a child? By what shall I know this, for I'm old? How many know that God can work with old people?
Amen.
He can work with old people. I mean, is it like, yeah. And so, behold, I'm old. So he's confessing that. And my wife is advanced in her days. I mean, she's beyond childbirth. So whatever they were, I'm sure they were in their 70s or whatever. They're old, and they're well beyond childbirth. You know, maybe we had a child at, what, 40-ish?
Almost 41.
And that's pretty much, you know, you don't want to have too many kids after that. But it's wonderful.
45.
Wow. Really? Wow. That's amazing. That's a miracle. That really is. That's a miracle. That's powerful.
Wow.
So, but it's possible. It's possible. Not only that, Margaret was born late like that. And you know what? She's turned out to keep us young.
Absolutely.
And she loves us. I mean, it's so amazing.
Amen. Praise God.
So it's amazing to us that God can do that. Because we weren't going to have any more after three. But we didn't ask God. And so, okay, well, we'll ask God. But I'm sure he'll say no. I mean, just, you're too old. Just like this guy said, you're too old. But then, did I say anywhere in the world you couldn't have children? No, he really didn't say that. But we're content with five, you know, there, I mean three of us, three kids. But then he said, no, go ahead. Don't be afraid. Do it. Wow. To have a child, wow. People warned us, oh, this and that, and so on and so forth, but we didn't pay attention. And then you can have children because miracles still happen.
Amen.
Miracles still happen. And Zechariah said to the angel, by what shall I know this? For I'm old, my wife is advanced in her days. And answering, the angel said to him, I am Gavriel, or Gabriel. And our newest daughter that was just born on the 10th of December, our newest granddaughter is Gabriela Victoria. And David picked out Victoria, but the wife liked, because she's a Spanish teacher, Gabriela. So, and now she's Gabriela Victoria Borchert. Mixing everything together. Getting it all mixed up. You know, that's the way. But she's a miracle because we prayed, as you know, 16 years. At every meal, we prayed for them to have a baby, though doctors and everybody said you can't and blah, blah, blah. We did it anyway, or David and Mary did it. Because one day they sat us down, came down and sat us down and, well, you're the last one in the family to know. I'm already pregnant. Wow. I thought they all said you couldn't, and so on and so forth. But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And so she is now born, and she's wholesome, healthy, and she's at home.
Amen.
And if we didn't have colds, we could go and see her. But we have colds or allergies or something or other. Anyway, so we haven't seen the baby yet. They didn't have like glass that you could see through in the movies. In the movies, you know, you could always see your baby. Yeah. Which one is mine? You know, so. They have the names on it. But at the hospital that they went to, they don't have any glass, so you can't, you know, be safe with your colds on the outside. Don't come near the baby with that cold. Okay, we're waiting. But I'm sure something's going to happen because they've already said, well, is your cold almost over? Well, yeah, almost. And it might be an allergy. Who knows? Anyway, are allergies, do they spread?
No.
No. Allergies don't spread. And answering, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands before God. In other words, my standing is with God. Do you know what your standing is?
With God.
With God. Right. Exactly. You stand before God.
Hallelujah.
You're exactly the same. Exactly the same as the angel. We stand only because God not only created us, but recreated us in his image and in his likeness. So now we have this miraculous new creation birth. New creation birth. And so now these two babies that are about to be born are unique and all-sufficient. They're pointing out that God is unique and all-sufficient. And that's who Jesus is. There's no one else like him, and there never will be. And there's no one else like John the Baptist, and there never will be. So the sufficiency of God is good news for us. He is sufficient for anything you face. When your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock.
Amen.
That is higher than I. And when your heart is overwhelmed, just lead me to the rock, Jesus, who's higher than I am. So Jesus is everything you need. You get Jesus, you get everything.
Amen.
If with Christ Jesus, everything else is free after that. Everything else is free after that. So this is the one that will tell you the truth that will set you free forever. All religion goes, all the bad works go, it all goes. And answering, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel who stands before God, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you the good news. This is speaking to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And everybody else is outside because he's the priest, and this is his time of the year. And do you know what time it was that he did this? What time do you think? I don't think about your Christmas cards. They might be wrong. What time of the year do you think this is?
Judgment.
Huh?
6 months
before spring.
Before spring. Yeah.
This was January, but you could snow. This was January that the Gabriel showed up. Then he would show up again 6 months later, and that would be April of the next year, April. And all of these are in mid-months. They're in the middle of the month. And later, when John is born, he's born on the 15th of October. That is exactly the time of the atonement. So John is born. He was conceived in January, but he didn't come to birth. He was in mother's tummy all that time. So he was now growing. He was now advancing, and he had the power of God on his side, because they'd prayed just like we did for this baby, and then it became too late. But God is never too late. But God is never too late. When he acts, it's always on time. It's always on time. And he can surprise you with miracles. Miracles. Amen. We're still praying for Margaret to have a husband, and we pray that now, and also Lynn.
Yes.
Amen.
To have the perfect husband.
Amen.
Amen.
One fitted for us. Why? Because miracles never cease. Miracles never. They don't. When you have Jesus, you have everything. And he'll give you the best. He won't give you second best. He'll give you the best. Amen?
Amen.
So don't worry about anything. When you have Jesus, you have it everything. There's nothing. He's unique and all-sufficient. Always. God. Anyway, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, stands before God. I was sent to speak to you, Zechariah, and to announce to you, I'm here to announce to you the good news of these things. And behold, you shall be silent. What? You shall be silent. In other words, you know, now that your term is up, I'm going to just say, because you doubted my word. And you have to have faith. Now, Mary is going to have faith for Jesus. But Zechariah, he doubted. I'm too old. He had an excuse. Don't do that. Okay, from now on, don't talk at all, because you're going to just say negative things. So you'll be silent for a while. How long? It'll be quite a while. It's going to be quite a while. And so this is the story of this great birth, this great womb-carrying mother. Because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So God hath shown us many things that have not yet come to pass, right? He's shown us many things about ourselves personally, because he's that kind of God. He's a personal God. And he wants an intimate love affair with each one here, male, female, doesn't make any difference. Because we're all going to be the bride of Christ someday. And so this intimacy that he has with you is to share with you the truth that will set you free. Set you free from any laws, any rules, any pressure, and do everything for you. This is the only God in the whole universe, because he's the only God in the whole universe, that wants to do for you rather than you doing for him. All the other religions in the world, they want you to do for them, to assuage their wrath, their anger, because you did one or two things wrong in your life. How many did one or two things wrong in your life? Maybe three, okay. And you persisted in them for a while. And so, not a problem for God, because God does not count your works as sufficient to get you to go home to heaven. So, your works will never get you there. Your bad works will never send you to hell either. Your good works and your bad works don't count. Only one thing counts: what God wants to do for you. That's the only thing that counts. If you're a believer in him, everybody could say amen.
Amen.
If you're a believer in him, then you have eternal life. And you'll never die. There is therefore now no condemnation. Wow. So your good works won't get you to heaven, and your bad works won't send you to hell. The only reason you go to hell is because you chose not to believe in Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. So we need to be busy praying for our enemies, yeah, praying for the enemies of God, praying for people that are trying to do for God, whether they're lukewarm Christians or whether they're, you know, Catholics or Jewish people or whatever. They're trying to do for God. No, stop that. God never wanted your works. They're imperfect. They will always be imperfect. So these two wombs are carrying babies that will have a different message, a different voice, a different thing, but they're talking about the same thing. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. And Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. So now you have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all speaking the same language of heaven on earth for good news. So everything is good. That's why people say Merry Christmas, even though they're Jewish, even though they're Muslim. They can say Merry Christmas. And anyone who lives in America is going to say it, because Trump said so. And so it's all right. And I say it to people that probably don't even understand it. But I just say it without thinking, because it's all right. How many know God set you free from everything? Everything. There's nothing against you. If God be for you,
who can be against you?
Who can be against you? There's nobody. Nobody can thwart God. No one can gainsay God. No one can argue God. He's really good. He's really good. He's so smart. He's so strong. He's so good. Behold, you shall be silent, not able to speak, verse 20, until these things take place. Okay, so he gives a time frame on it. Because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So I'm chastening you, but I'm not punishing you. I'm chastening you, but I'm not punishing you. In other words, I'm chastening you for your own good. Next time, don't doubt. When an angel comes to you like me, listen. Pay attention. So the fear of God is, don't miss anything God has to say to you. Now, I know a lot of people do. A lot of people have made God irrelevant to their lives. But don't. Make him only thing relevant. Nothing else is relevant. What you do in this world, what you don't do in this world, not interesting. What he describes you as through Jesus Christ, that is interesting. So learn the language of heaven. Don't speak to God and say, I feel. Don't speak to God and say, I think. Don't speak to God and say, I want. Just use Bible words, the language of heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So learn to say that. And I have, as a pastor, and I have to because I'm paid, but I have to say Bible words all the time. Why? They're good news. They're good news. So I don't like to say things that I think and feel and want. I like to say what God says, what God says, what God says. Hear the word of the Lord. Or hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Spirit is building up the church, and you're the building. You're the building. Cynthia, you're the building. Raul, you're the building. Jacob, you're the building. So since he's building us, we'll be built. Because whatever God begins, he always finishes. Whatever God begins, he always finishes. So he'd never give you a promise that he didn't keep.
Amen.
When he gives you a promise, even if you read it in Abraham, or even if you read it through one of the prophets, I don't care where you read it, anything in the Bible is going to come to pass, exactly as he said. Now, he'll be severe toward those that are unbelievers. He says that. He'll be severe. In other words, he'll give them what they deserve because they didn't believe. It isn't that they couldn't have, they didn't. They chose not to. They didn't want to. Can you imagine someone stubborn like that? It was you. You're the one I'm talking about. Because all of us at one point didn't believe. But now that I've heard the truth has set me free. I'll never go back. I can't go back. I'm going to follow Jesus all the way to the death. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. This Zechariah is going to have a testimony when he gets done. And anyone that knows that doesn't love their natural life apart from God. They don't love that to the death. So, I'm willing to die. John died. Jesus died. We die. Every day. Every day. Every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Take your cross up daily. In other words, don't listen to your will. Don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to your emotions. Listen only to God. And I live by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. I do. That's my life. That's why I don't want to use human words. Because human words are all about my will, my mind, my emotions. That's what they teach kids in school. Everything they teach them in school is not facts and figures. That's the old style. Now, the new one is, how do you feel? What do you think? What does that mean to you? And they're teaching you how to get along with other people. That will not produce heaven on earth. It will produce hell. And the children today can't think because they dumb them down deliberately. It's not accidentally. And so don't think this is by accident. And you know who the culprit is?
Church.
The church. Why? Because we're not hot enough. We're not the hot that can make the lukewarm and the cold hot. But if you could worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself, they would come to you. That's all God's looking for, not man. That's all God's looking for. Worship me with all your heart and soul. Do it by faith. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do it by faith. That's it. You just do those two things. Boom. All your enemies will be gone. That's what these two will come forth and say. John the Baptist was not afraid of death. In fact, he knew about it. And Jesus was not afraid of his death. He was just waiting for him to finish his 6 months, because he was 6 months older. He was waiting for him so that he could take his turn. And he would say the exact same words. Repent. What does that mean? Comfort yourself. because your sins aren't going to send you to hell and your good works aren't going to get you to heaven. So comfort yourself, because your warfare is over. This is a promise. Promises always equal faith, because you have faith not in yourself, but in God, who spoke those words. So if you have faith in God to live your life for you, then you have faith in Him, not in yourself. Self-reliant? Wrong. You can't be self-reliant against God. Self-reliant to other people? Yes. That's okay. But self-reliant to God? Uh-uh. He doesn't want you self-reliant. He wants you to rely totally on what He said, what He did, what He said, what He did, all on your favor. You're the apple of His eye. You're the one that God loves and loves and loves. Now, why does God want you to hear this good news? I don't know, because it's good news to us. It's not God. It's God wanting you to have the good news He has. He wants to give Himself to you. That's why He picked Jesus, because Jesus always does what's pleasing to the Father. He always does what's pleasing to the Father. So that's pretty powerful. If He always does it, the Father loves you Himself. Then the Father loves you Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of them love us. Holy Spirit loves you. Jesus loves you. The Father loves you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we worship and adore. Now I want to talk to you about worship and adoring. Let's read the story first. And the people were expecting, 21, Luke 1, 21. And the people were expecting Zacharias, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. But coming out, he was not able to speak to them, and they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple. Where do you see the vision? In the temple. Who is the temple of the living God?
Jesus.
We are. Who is our temple? He is. So He's in us and we're in Him. He's in us and we're in Him. Love. That's a love temple. Right there. I have an intimate relationship with my husband, my Father in heaven. But I'm not going to marry the Father in heaven. I'm going to marry His Son. And He's going to give me away, you away, for the Son, and you'll be the bride of the bridegroom. John said He was the friend of the bridegroom. John also said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." John also said, "And He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire." He said everything that needed to be said by the one that introduced Him.
Amen.
He had it all figured out, because that was His purpose in life. Introduce Jesus. You're not Jesus. I am not the light. I came to bear witness to the light. I'm not the light. Just like you're not God. But you can be like God. You can do the works of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now by faith, someday by sight. Now by faith, someday by sight. So Zechariah could not speak. He could not say any words. And they knew something had happened to him, because he was making signs to them and continued being dumb. And it happened when the days of his service were fulfilled, he went away to his house. And after 3 days, these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived 9 months later. And she hid herself 5 months. She was 5 months pregnant with John the Baptist. 5 months pregnant with John the Baptist. She had the herald inside of herself. She didn't want people to see her. Your stomach, if you're pregnant, it shows up about 5 months. So that people say, "Hey, you putting on weight, or is there something in you?" And people are surprised. You can't hide it anymore. Three months, yeah, you could hide it. But not by 5 months. So Let's see how this turns out. This is John the Baptist about to be born. And I told you it will be October 15th at the time of the atonement in the fall. So Jesus was not born during Christmas season. So we're celebrating. It's okay. God is okay with that. We're celebrating. And I'll tell you, the whole world celebrates Christmas all over. They just like the idea, happy. It can be happy for a couple days, you know. And so the whole world, Jewish people do it. You can hear them. They're noisy about it, too.
Wow.
Even though we're Jewish, I like Christmas. And they have presents and all that kind of stuff. So don't mock it. Don't say, well, you're not Christian like we are. No, we're no better than anybody else. But the whole world likes to have a happy day. And so this is a very happy day. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Anyway, and it happened when the days of his service were fulfilled, he went away to his own house, and after these days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months during her pregnancy, saying, "So has the Lord done to me in the days of which he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Wow. For a woman, her only purpose in life is not to bear children, but that is one of her powerful things, and no man can do it. I don't know if you know that. You can call yourself a transvestite or trans whatever, but you're not able to bear babies, and you're not able to milk them either. You can't even nourish that baby. And there are other ways, substitutes and so on and so forth, that they try to come up with. But I'm just telling you, this was meant for women. And so the women always represents the church. Even when it's Jezebel, the wrong, you know, the false church. Because there are false churches out there, false religions out there. But even so, the woman always represents, and so Mary represents the church. And so Jesus always makes the men be the servant to the wife. Did you hear what I just said? I'll say it again. Now, all men that I know of are no good.
Amen.
But a few. So you have to find out from God which one is the one I'm to marry, and I don't want to marry the wrong one. I want to, like our daughter says, I want to marry someone who's crazy in love with me. But she has to be a Christian. And he has to be more mature than I am. That one's difficult. And he has to be, you know, good looking and rich and have a sense of humor. She has all these really great things, and that's why she's not married. Because, unfortunately, she will marry a sinner. Unfortunately, because all men that I know of are sinners. And I was one of them. And I was totally immature, totally didn't know what I was doing, and totally thought I was awesome. Because I never smoked or chewed or go with those that do. I didn't do that. That doesn't make any difference. But I tricked Peggy into marrying me. And so she's been a total blessing all the days of my life. So I love it. I love it. So she's the perfect wife for me. Nobody else. It's for me. And I am the perfect husband for her, but that takes faith. Because I don't look like and act like and smell like and so on and so forth. But anyway, it's just by faith. She has to love me by faith. And every once in a while, she uses those words. I think she used them this morning. It's because it's Christmas season. And in the sixth month, verse 26, now 5 months she hid herself because she didn't want anyone to know, because it was a miracle and she didn't want them to know that a miracle had taken place. She just hide, you know, like, I don't want to tell everybody right now. I want to wait till this thing comes forth. But anyway, Gabriel's not bound by time. Gabriel also now is busy, and in the 6 months, he came and saw Mary. And Mary didn't know anything about anything because they didn't have, Facebook. they didn't have, Skype, and they didn't have anything to communicate. And there were no Indians around with smoke signals. I mean, there's no way you can just quickly go somewhere. They didn't have cars, planes, buses. You know, so you just had, camels. They're slow. And then you had maybe a mule or something like that. But there's no way. But anyway, she hastened when the angel came to her. Let's listen to this story about Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent by God, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You know what Nazareth means? The branch. Jesus is the branch. Remember in the Old Testament it said that Jesse was a tree, and then he had some branches on that tree. And that was his dad, King David. And so he's the branch. But here it is, Nazareth is a branch. And so this whole story, they had to be born in the right place. But he is that little twig, little thing, jumped out of that shoot, because you chop the tree down, but there's still a shoot that comes up. And so that little shoot became the Son of God, because Jesus will be the Son of David as well as the Son of Abraham. So those are his ancestors, those two, according to the book of Matthew. To a virgin, Alma, in the Jewish language, Alma, that means you are a virgin and you have not been with anybody. To a virgin who had been betrothed, but you have to wait a whole year if you're Jewish, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. I preached this years ago to all the young people in the Fort Worth church. And all the young people said, we've been already sleeping together and blah, blah, blah. And they said, we need to do it the Jesus way. You said you have to wait 12 months. And so does that mean we can't sleep with each other? Yes. No. So they all vowed, these men, they all vowed, let's do what Pastor Jim says, it's in the Bible. So that made a revolution in our church in Fort Worth. It made a revolution. And people then stopped. Today, one or two of them are pastors.
Wow.
They're pastors in our church. And that's powerful, because they started living for God only, just to make him the source of their life. So I'm just telling you, waiting a year, so if people say, could you marry me this weekend? No. Because you haven't had any counseling, so you have to wait for a year and don't be together. Yuck. But then you have a man that's disciplined. That's discipleship. You need to do it God's way, not man's way. Now, today everybody sleeps together and they do all kinds of things, but not my kids and not any of the young people in our church. They stopped. They immediately stopped. Not going to do it. In the 6 months, Gabriel was sent by God to the city of named Nazareth, to a virgin who had been betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. That's an ancient name, of the house of David. So now we know that this Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus Christ. Not. Wow. Because of the miracle that took place. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she had a baby as a virgin. She still hadn't slept with anybody. Nobody. And so that's a miracle. One of the things about Christianity you'll notice is that it doesn't make sense. Amen. Except to God. How many know that the thoughts of God are different than yours? And the words of God are different than you use them. He redefines every term. Your love is conditional, his is un. Your joy is, you know, based on a, you know, a job or, you know, an increase in salary or something. His joy is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Everything God does is not like earth. Everything he does in heaven is perfect. Everything we do on earth is not perfect. So, and it won't happen until we have Christians like you who then live a godly life by faith. And someday by sight when he comes back. Second time. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary actually is Mariamne, and it actually means sorrowful one, but she's about to receive joy. And entering in, the angel said to her, "Hail, one having received grace. Hail, you who have received grace." What? She's just a young girl. He's not understanding. What? What are you talking about? I hope you're not talking about me having the Son of God, because every mother in Israel, you don't know this, every mother in Israel always wanted to be the one that birthed the Son of God, because they knew the Messiah was coming and he's going to have a mother somewhere. And everyone, when they had a baby, if it was a boy, that was good news. But if it was a girl, well, you know, that's not the Messiah. And so they knew that. Forget all the stuff that's going on in the world today. Don't think about culture. Think about Jesus. You're a new creation, not part of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So I have to live a different life in this world, and yet I'm invisible, because nobody, all they see is my works, and they don't know where that comes from. They don't know what you know, what produced that, what motivated you. It's just the Bible. So I live by the Bible. Am I despised? Yeah, if you knew who I was, but a lot of people don't know. I wear the same kind of clothes, and I don't have anything external that, you know, no buttons on my shirts. No, I don't have buttons. And so on and so forth, drive cars, and so on and so forth. So it's hard to, are you a Christian? You must be a secret agent, because I never knew that. How many here are secret agents for Jesus? You don't want all your friends to know you're a Christian. Unless you're my wife, who always puts, you know, bumper stickers on her car, and so on and so forth. She wants to know the whole, I want the whole world to know who I am and whom I'm for. And so a lot of people don't advertise like that. But it's good as Christians. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. That's what does it. And give glory to your Father in heaven. The angel said to her, "Hail, one having received grace," chanan in the Hebrew, and grace. And this word grace is a very powerful word. It means God gives you favor without your prayer. You don't have to pray for grace. I mean, you can pray for grace, but you never know when he's going to do it. But it's just favor. All of a sudden you get favor, like, wow, how'd that happen? Yeah. And it just happens because God loves you.
Hallelujah.
God loves you. And because you're a Christian, he just favors you. You've had that, Karen.
Oh, yeah.
It's too powerful. It's like, this is a better way to live than I used to be. You know, I used to live in fear and doubt and worry and all that kind of, no more. I have peace.
Amen.
Peace with God, peace with fellow man. I'm not hostile toward anybody. They may hate me, but I don't hate them for hating me. I don't care what you do, because I'm in God's hands. I'm in God's hands. I'm not worried. He's not going to let me go. He's not going to let me go. And as long as I stay there voluntarily, I stay there, he's going to keep me. He'll watch over me. Isn't that amazing to God? That's one of the things he does. He gave me a word yesterday. Jesus spoke to me in a dream. He spoke to me and he said, when I reveal something to somebody, I always conceal it from the world. When I reveal a word to somebody. So he said it this way. What I cover and protect and secure, I reveal. In other words, to anyone that I'm going to say that. He was speaking to me because Jesus, and I knew it was Jesus in the dream. He speak to me and he said, I will cover, I will protect, I will secure whomever I reveal myself to. And I knew that. And I knew he was saying, Jim, comfort yourself. This is Jesus speaking to you personally. Personally. And if Jesus speaks to you personally, just like he did to Mary and to Elizabeth and Zacharias, just like she did. And God wants us to know that God can speak to you personally, daily. The Lord is with you. This is what it is. What is grace? The Lord is with you. He's on your side. You are blessed among women. Women will all say that and see that. And seeing this, she was disturbed at his word. Not disturbed in the sense that it was wrong. Disturbed at the sense of, wow, why is that word coming to me? Because I'm a nobody. I'm just a person. But that word came to her and changed her life forever. So let's look at this thing about being disturbed at the word. And seeing this, she was disturbed at his word and considered what kind of greeting this might be. What is this that he's saying? And the angel of the Lord said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor from God. That's different than mercy. That's not the same thing as mercy. Mercy is chesed in Hebrew, and favor is chanan. So this is favor. Just all of a sudden God favors you because, you know, not because you go to church or anything. He just favors you without any request at all. You might have requested it, but he just favors you. And she wasn't even thinking about that. She wasn't even thinking about having Jesus be Son of God born in her. She knew it, that somebody's going to have that baby, but she didn't think it was her because of her low estate. Because, you know, she was thinking, because the Jewish people are down right now, because then we went to Babylon, then we went to Persia, then we went to Greece, and now we're in Rome, and so on and so forth. Bethlehem ain't the same as it used to be when King David, because she was of the house of David also, as well as was their husband, which was the stepfather of Jesus. And that says so in the Bible, what I just said. It says he's not the biological father. And seeing this, she was disturbed at his word and considered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor from God. And behold, wow, now her mind is really opening up. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Wow, that's amazing that Jesus can speak to you personally, Raul, personally. Wow, that's powerful. Then you know, wow, the Lord just spoke to me. He said these words. And I was totally comforted by that word because if God doesn't answer your prayers or he doesn't listen to you, then he can't, you know, you won't be excited. You want to have that I can talk to him and he can talk to me. And so now he's showed up and he's showing up through this angel who's saying that you found favor with God. God is on your side. I came to tell you that. That's the only reason I was sent, just to tell you this. So now she had earlier, Gabriel visited Zechariah when he was in the temple. Now, your womb is going to be the temple for the Son of God, Mary. That'll be his temple. He's going to dwell in this womb for 9 months. And then you'll come forth. And so this is in April. April is a long way off. April is a long way off. In other words, there's a difference between conceiving a child and then birthing the child. 9 months. So it'll be 9 months, April 15th. The same day as tax. The same day you pay taxes. That's the darkness. Listen carefully. That's the darkness that Jesus had to be born in because he's the light of the world. That shoos away, casts away darkness forever. When Jesus comes in your heart, you're enlightened for the first time. Not through education, but through this revealing, which he covers with his blood, which he protects with his power, and which he then secures so that no one can take you out of his hand. Wow, I like that kind of God that takes care of me. Why? Because I'm not very good at taking care of myself. And I find myself often making mistakes, which Peggy points out. She's very quick to point out all my mistakes. Not a few of them, all of them. Sometimes she waits a few minutes, but she'll bring it out. Well, you did it, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And I love that. Don't you love a wife that will tell you the truth? Don't you love a wife that will tell you the truth? Yeah. So she's the best wife because she won't just say what I want to hear. She says what I don't want to hear. You did wrong again. Well, I'm the pastor. Well, I don't care who you are. You did wrong. Well, don't tell Jesus. How many know that wives can't hurt you? They're a blessing. Dan, you need to say to your wife, thank you for being a blessing to me. Karen.
You're welcome.
You said it so softly it could barely hear it.
Amen.
And Sam, you'll have to go home and tell your wife the same thing.
She hears it all the time.
Yeah, she can hear it. Their wives are so keen on hearing.
And remembering.
And remembering. And keeping a list and checking it twice to see who's naughty and nice. Anyway. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, because you've found favor from God. And you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. There it is. This one, Jesus, will be great. And what? Will be great and will be called Son of the Most High God. Wow. I mean, there's no other. This is the only one right here. John the Baptist won't be called that. He is the greatest of men born a woman. But he is not the greatest. Jesus is the greater one. Jesus is the lead ox. Jesus is the one we're going to marry. And so John is he's going to be at the wedding and he'll be the best man. He'll be at that wedding someday. Got his head chopped off, but his head is Jesus, so he can just put it right back on. How many know that John is not worried?
Amen.
And Jesus took that as a signal. This is when I'm going to start. Because he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now I'm going to say the same thing. Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The gospel started with John. 6 months. Until he had irritated everybody, and then they wiped him out. But only the leaders. The people actually were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And the people then hailed him as a prophet. And they didn't dare do anything until the prophet was imprisoned by Herod. And Herod's daughter danced a certain dance that put then, because he had said, you're committing incest, a forbidden marital affair. No, you can't do it. You've taken your brother's wife. That is forbidden. There's a whole bunch of people you're not supposed to marry. Those are all called incest. You slept with somebody you should not be with. Wrong. And God rebuked him through him, John. And so what? Herod said, I'll kill that man. But he didn't really want to. He wanted to talk to him. He wanted to talk to him about God. And you know what happened? The daughter, Salome, she did this dance, and he said, hey, I'll give you up half the kingdom. Whatever you want. He pleased her. But you know what she wanted? The head of John the Baptist. My mom says he's an irritation. Just kill him. How many know that his death actually was a signal to Jesus to start his ministry and say the same thing, complete what he started, the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth. So because of that, thank God for John,
yeah.
Right? You might think he has a short life, but he actually had a wonderful life because he introduced Jesus to the whole world. That's why he's greater than anybody else that's born of man. Anybody. Because he introduced the Savior, the Lord, the Bridegroom. Spoke about all that. Next verse. And behold, you will conceive, bear a son, call his name Jesus. This one will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Wow. Jesus is going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Did you know that in the millennium, which hasn't happened yet, in the millennium, King David will be raised from the dead, and his resurrection will be for eternal life. Because he said in the Old Testament, the 40th chapter, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, change me spirit and soul and body. Change me. And that prayer will be answered as soon as Jesus comes back. Boom. All of a sudden, David now rules for 1,000 years over the Jewish people and will be in heaven ruling over him with Jesus. And the Father will be in heaven of real heaven, singular heaven over the natural heavens where we are. And then later, we'll all go to heaven and we'll be the heavenly city.
Amen.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's all about people. Everything that God does is for people. So it's not about Satan. It's not about anything else. Don't fret because of evildoers. They're everywhere today. They're Muslim, homosexual agenda. I don't care what it is, the progressives and leftists and so on. So there are enemies everywhere. Laugh. Laugh your head off. Why? Well, don't laugh your head off. Leave your head. Leave your head. Because your head is in heaven. Don't get rid of Jesus. Anyway, you can laugh. You know why? Because the Bible says don't fret because of evildoers. Pray for them. Bless them. Love them. Forgive them. So there you have it. Is it time to go? I haven't even got to the good part. All right. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, Yaakov, forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. Wow. This is an everlasting kingdom. You cannot stop it. You have eternal life in you.
Glory to God.
Just because Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, that was the blood that paid for it. Not the blood of goats and bulls. Remember Abraham, he counted that. And then remember Abraham made this covenant with God. And God said these words. He said these words. Huh. Abraham has fallen asleep because he cut up all the animals. And then what happened? He cut up all the animals, and then the birds came to eat him up because they smelled the blood. And then he was so tuckered out that he fell asleep. And God said he gave him a deep sleep. And then he made the covenant, because all that Abraham did, his only response was, he was in a deep sleep, and that's what he contributed to his salvation. Do you see, God doesn't want you to good works toward God. doesn't even want you to do the covenant because he wants to do everything for you.
Amen.
There's no good work you can do to please God. He's already pleased with you. And he's pleased with everybody that he created. But some don't believe, some do believe. You and I believe. We believe his word, so we're believers. So we have to pray for the others so that they could believe before he comes back. That's why he's stalling. He's not stalling. He's actually suspended the judgment of Cain. He's suspended the judgment of wicked people so that they might meet Jesus and be like son of Sam in the prison. Became a Christian just like that. They said, "You're pardoned, you can go." He said, "No, this is my ministry right here in the prison. I'm going to stay here. I love this ministry." You see, when you become a Christian, you're another person. You're no longer you. You're Christ in you. You're Jim in Christ, Christ in Jim. New relationship. Christianity is nothing but a relationship with the true and living God. He loves everybody at all times, never ever angry at anybody. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. And all he's doing right now is getting rid of all of our sin. How many know you still have one or two sins left? One or two. Just little bitty sins. But that's enough to keep you out of heaven. Because the bride has to be without spot, without wrinkle, without stain, without blemish, without anything that would mar the marriage. So he could easily divorce you at the last second if he finds out you had just even one little sin. So don't have any sin. Do you promise?
Sure.
No. It was wise you didn't answer. His wife, because I don't have control of that. But Jesus made a promise, I will take care of it. Oh, then you can have faith in that. Because faith always demands promise. That demands faith. They work together. So I have faith. Jesus, you better keep the word because I have a few sins. One or two. Or four. Or make the 18. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. So by the time you see him, he'll be in heaven. You'll be in heaven. How many know you'll be in heaven? Everybody here will be in heaven. Why? Not because you go to this church or go to any church. You go to heaven because Jesus loves you.
Glory to God.
And he wants this good news to be preached by businessmen, by anybody, wives, anybody. I don't care who it is. He just wants anyone to hear this good news. And to have a happy life. Do you have a happy life? The answer is yes. I'm going to say it again. Just by faith. Do you have a happy life?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I do. Not because I feel it. Not because I want it. Not because I understand it. I just have it because Jesus said it and I go by his word. Because we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God continually, constantly, present, active, indicative. The most powerful grammar in the English language and in any language. Present, active, indicative. Because it is present. But Mary said to the angel, how will this be? Same as Zechariah said, but this one is not doubting. How will this be since I don't know a man? And answering, because that was a good question, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and by this reason, that Holy One being born of you will, turning the page here, be called Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. Remember they said they were too old? But they weren't. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, this is the key verse, behold, I am the slave of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
There's the miracle right there. The miracle is not that God created the world. The miracle is not that God redeemed the world. The miracle is Mary believed.
Amen.
That woman believed And she was nothing. She was a low estate, and she began to magnify the Lord, doxa, which means glorify God, worship God, give him all the glory, all the strength, all the power that he has. And she began to preach this. I'll preach this in Fort Worth, and I'll read it, because that's called the Magnificat. She's magnifying the Lord, and she's giving it. That worship isn't her words. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through her to God, and God always accepts his own words. If you pray what God has said in his own words, he's always accepting that. Oh, good words. Because he did them. Because you didn't do anything for him. He did everything for you. And he even lives in you. After he was resurrected from the dead, he lives in your heart and also lives in heaven, because he's a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Will set you free forever and ever and ever. So I'm already happy.
Yes.
Can't take away my happiness, because I'm already happy. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Because I know God has my life in his hands, because he's covering me with his blood. He's then protecting me by his power. And he's then securing me so that no one can shake me when the world is shaken. Because I will survive. Whether it's resurrection, I don't care. Whether it's during the trial, I don't care. Whether it's before the trial, I don't care. I don't care how he does it. I know one thing. Nothing bad can happen to me.
Amen.
Sam, are you happy as I am?
I am very happy.
Amen. That's good. Raul, are you happy?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Are you happy, birthday? God bless you.
I've got to go babysit.
Good, good, good. Are you happy?
100%.
Willis, are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Jack, are you happy?
Absolutely.
Wow. Too powerful. Mm. How many know that God is always on your side?
Yes.
If God be for you, who? 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 Who would dare challenge God? If God says he loves you, that's it. And he can't change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not a respecter of persons. That's why she preached the gospel. When Mary began to magnify the Lord, she just said, "You know, how can you love someone for such a low estate? I'm in a humble situation. But I'm going to have the Son of God? You're picking the wrong person." But she didn't say that. She went, "No, I believe in that. I believe you've picked me because you are that kind of God." Wow, that pleased God forever. She found favor with God. All right, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God is good. Let's have a testimony. Let's have a testimony. Someone stand. Oh, wow, that was a good message. Not from me, from God. That was a good message that encouraged me. We'll just make up something.
Great message.
Karen, was that good?
Yes, it was a wonderful message, and there were so many things that I learned. The two wombs was powerful, powerful. And the synergy between John and Jesus. And we can just have that in our lives as well. Thank
right.
you, Pastor.
Yeah, good. Anyone else? Alex?
Yeah, I was really blessed. I've been kind of wrestling, you know, Christmas season with the whole date thing and
right.
how to celebrate, should I celebrate, all this kind of stuff. And kind of the way you married the whole dynamic. You addressed it, you didn't cover it up.
Right.
But at the same time, they're still good to celebrate.
Right.
The good news.
The good news.
And it's amazing how free
yep.
we are.
Yes.
How free we are.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Woohoo! Yes.
I was going to say, it was a real affirmation about God's love for us because he's healing me of so many things.
Amen.
And the more I experienced that, the more I realized that he's really my source and no one else.
You are right. That is what Elohim means in the Old Testament, the source. He's your ground. He's your source. He's your everything. Everything that you want comes from God. Everything. All good gifts come from God. All bad gifts, they don't come from God. We do those ourselves. But we are a happy people and we are a holy people. Yes. Happiness always leads to holiness because God did it all.
Yes.
And he's going to continue to do it until we're perfected in love. All right. Take out the bread. You have your bread. This is unleavened bread. Tastes like a cracker or something. But it's unleavened, meaning no sin. So let us partake of the bread. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which I laid down for you. I laid my life down. I only care about you. Because God only cares about you. And we can lay our lives down for one another, wash one another's feet." In other words, walk in such a way that other people know you're a believer. Not only do we love the brethren, we also love all men. And we love them equally. We pray for them. We bless them. And that's our worship to God. That is worship. Loving the neighbor is the end of the law. Loving the neighbor is not the beginning. That's worship. But loving the end is the fruit of that worship toward our neighbor. Love your neighbors. That's what gift giving is all about. When you give a gift, don't give it because they deserve it. Give it because they're a human being that needs love. That's why I reach out to the poor, to the needy, to those that have no one to take care of them. And that's why it's given all around the world. Today, people know it. That's why we're a welfare state, which is a wrong thing. We should not be, because the government doesn't have anything to give. However, it's they borrowed it from Christianity. They don't want to give him the credit, but they borrowed that from Christianity. Care for your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And everybody knows that, that's true. They just don't acknowledge Jesus as the reason for this season. In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, all of you, all of you. For this is my blood, which is given for you, for the remission of all sin." You don't have any sin in you. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you do. I'm just telling you, you don't have any sin as far as God is concerned. Because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death set you free forever and ever. Let us partake then of this cup. Lord, we thank you that there's power in the blood. Amen. This power is not the power to do miracles. This power is the power of the blood to take away the sins of the world. Do it completely, Lord, until there's no sin left in us, so that we also will receive a blessing when you come back and be the bride. Happy is the bride. Happy are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Happy are those that are part of the first resurrection. Happy are those that trust in God. Amen and amen. Have a good day. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah.
We're having our church in Fort Worth this year. At 5 o'clock, my son is going to preach. And then at 9 o'clock, I'm going to preach. So you can come there if you wish to and want to celebrate.
Tomorrow night? Is that tomorrow night?
Yes, tomorrow night. That's a candlelight service. Christmas Eve. So, candlelight service. It's a beautiful service. So, I know you have a long way to go, but it's a blessing.
Amen.
It's always a blessing. All right. God is good.
Hallelujah.
I'm sure David is going to talk about his baby. That's why she's called Gabriel. Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Victoria. Victory in Jesus.